Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. This week, I interview Tessia Watson, and she tells a story that's a little bit unbelievable. But because I have gone to churches, lots of different churches, Catholic, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, and you never know what's going to happen when you enter a place of worship and participate in the liturgy. But she had such an astonishing revelation, such an astonishing opening of herself at one of these services that it's kind of astonishing. And even after the service and as she went about her day, it still resonated within her and made her understand that her life was changed forever. I can't wait for you to hear her story because it is absolutely beautiful. So Tessia, she's an author, she's a model, she's an actress. She's also an incredibly inventive human being. Tessia was born in Paris and is of Togolese and Caribbean heritage. And she's helped many families over the course of her successful career as a childcare pioneer. She's a single mother of two young kids and quickly realized that without the correct support, being a parent can be very, very hard. So, recognizing her own need, she embarked on a journey to support other mothers and enrich the lives of their children with the creation of, and I'm going to just absolutely butcher this, Les Petites Belotes, which is a bilingual childcare program that provides flexible and short-term childcare solutions in French and English. At any rate, here's another powerful human being making the world better for others, and I can't wait for you to meet her and hear her story. It was really fun getting to know her. So now, here's the very next episode of Bite-Sized Blessings.
And I was sitting just there as usual, and then it was the time to take the bread. And I hear this little voice saying, "Are you going?" What is coming? Where is that coming from? And obviously the answer was like, obviously, of course not. I'm not going to take the bread as usual. And then the voice says again, "What have you learned so far? Or what have you read so far?" And true, since my cousin and my very good friend was talking about so many different experiences that they've been through, I was quite intrigued and I started to open the Bible and I started to read different passages and everything. I'm used, obviously, to the Bible since I'm very young. And I just, you know, replied that it's something that, you know, Jesus wanted us for us to do. I'm currently a lot of different things. So I'm a spiritual teacher. I'm an author as well, an entrepreneur. I'm a dancer since I'm very little. I'm still dancing, obviously. I'm a model. This is more recent, and an actress as well, which is more recent as well. But all of this, it's me. And I'm a philanthropist. I'm working with alongside an orphanage in Africa as well. So
you must be so busy. Are you so busy?
Yes, but I think that being busy keeps you alive.
I like that. I like that. And then, yeah. And so how did this modeling and the acting thing come about? Because first of all, I can't memorize lines to save my life. And second of all, I hate being up in front of people and just having them like look at me, or even I just can't do acting. So how did that come about?
So I think why it's kind of easy for me, let's say for that part, because I never, you know, took classes or anything, it's the dancing. Because I used to dance for years, and obviously to perform, you know, in front of an audience, I am so used to that. It's part of, you know, the way, you know, I grew up. So it's a part of me. And so I am absolutely comfortable being in front of people, talking in public, or, you know, playing a role or dancing. So that's where it comes from. I've been prepared. I've been, you know, in a training, let's say, for years to be able to be really at ease in front of a camera or, yes.
How did you come to be involved in philanthropy? I'm so intrigued by that.
I have no idea, really, because I think it's just, you know, intuition. It's something, you know, that came straight from the heart. And it was a way for me to reconnect as well with where I'm coming from. Because if I start working with a charity over there, I have to be there. I have to get an interest, know more about it, the country and, you know, the people who live there. And my mom is from Togo, but we didn't, my brother and myself, we didn't really go there really often. So it's a way to connect, and obviously it's a way to serve, you know, people. And I'm all about, you know, serving now. I came to that journey of getting more than giving. And I just think it's a shift. It's just, you know, it's just the time for me to just do more of that. And I think because I've started as well my spiritual journey, I've studied along spiritual masters for a couple of years now, it's become something normal to do, to be of service. It's just something that resonates with me.
And did you grow up in England?
No, I'm French.
You're French. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm French.
I have to tell you, I walked the Camino from Arles in southern France up to Bayonne. And then I walked along the Spanish coast, and I walked through a lot of small villages. I got to visit some larger cities like Albi and Carcassonne and Toulouse. And just going through France walking, you really get an appreciation, A, for the food, which is to die for, but B, for how gorgeous and multifaceted the countryside is. It is just unreal.
It's true. It's really, we are very lucky French people, because we have so many, you know, beautiful cities, not just the south. It's just even, you know, in the middle part of, you know, France, it's just gorgeous. And I definitely relate to that. And I was able to travel a lot when I was young. I was going to different camps in France where you just, you know, meet other friends, but it was just always a different part of France. Obviously, I was really young, so I don't remember exactly, but I've been everywhere. And I just, you know, remember so well that how beautiful it was, and, you know, just how it feels as well to be connected to nature and to just, you know, be able to just be there. It's really good. I grew up in Paris, not really in Paris, but just, you know, a couple of minutes away from Paris. So yes, I'm living now in London, but I'm French. Yeah, born and raised there.
Yeah, I did not go through Paris. I didn't even go to Paris. I ended up walking up and then walking along the Spanish coast and getting really dehydrated and had to stop my journey for that time. But I mean, I have to say that I don't know if it was because I was on all these small villages or walking through this kind of solitary countryside, but the French people that I met were the most loving and kind and generous and welcoming people I've ever met in my entire life. So I had the very best time, besides the fact I tell everybody it's amazing that you can eat, you know, 5 chocolate croissants in a day and still lose weight, but that's because you're carrying a backpack and walking 28 miles. But yes, it is every part of that journey was really gorgeous and just beautiful. So I have really, really fond memories and really beautiful feeling about France. And I can't wait to get back there someday. I'm jealous that you grew up there because it just really captured my heart. So.
And so you love hiking then? You love walking? Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Very impressive.
Yes. I like being alone too, which is also important when you're walking through the countryside of France, because you don't see people a lot sometimes. So, but when you were a kid, what did you want to be?
So when I was, if anyone was asking me that question, I have the right answer. Okay. So on Monday, I want to become a lawyer. On Tuesday, a teacher. On Wednesday, a dance teacher. On Thursday, an actress. It's always been that way. And it's funny because I became just that. That was the answer when I was young. I didn't have just one, you know, job in mind. I just wanted to switch to different, you know, professional, you know, way. I just didn't stick with just one field. I wanted to have different experience. I love change and I just love to be able to do everything that I want to do.
And it sounds like you have an incredible imagination, you know, for a kid to just dream all those big dreams. That's really amazing.
Yes. And now if I go back, I just remember that I was spending, you know, hours doing role play. It's just now that I kind of, all right. So I wanted to become, you know, I wanted to be a pharmacist. Yes. So I was, you know, spending hours pretending that I was the same for, because I wanted to become a lawyer as well. So I was doing this. And obviously I was the the teacher in primary school. I was a teacher in primary school as well. So now I just see my life. It's really similar. I didn't go to the pharmacist, you know, field, but I definitely study at uni law. I graduated from law school, wanted to become a lawyer, but then I shift. I've been, you know, I own a nursery business. So I've been the teacher with babies, not primary school. And the dancing, of course, yes, I've become a dance teacher. So I qualified maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I was, you know, teaching at my children's school. And I didn't plan the author thing. I'm an author, but this I didn't plan when I was in, no, that was not part of it. And actress, obviously, I was doing the role play. So I didn't even know that I was doing it. So everything is quite there. It's funny.
Goodness, it's like your child self, kind of when you were a kid, had all these big dreams and you made many of them happen.
Yes, you're just making me realize that. It's just, yes, it's true. And I have one more thing. I was talking to a friend and I said to her, can you believe this, that now I'm speaking English and I live in, you know, abroad? And she's like, Tess, what are you talking about? Like, you always said that when you were a child. So what do you mean? I was saying that you said it, you will be bilingual and you will just, you know, be able to perfectly speak, you know, English. And then it came back and I was like, and what else? Do you have anything else? And she said, yes. If we were asking you, what do you want to do? What did I say? you don't remember? No, of course I don't remember. You said you will tell people what to do in their life. And look at me, spiritual teacher. I didn't know that. It's powerful. It's really powerful. It's already inside of us, right? It's already inside.
I love all this. I'm sitting over here just like laughing because it's so delightful and amazing. And I think, you know, when a lot of people, when they're kids, they have big dreams, you know, they dream big. They have lots of different things they want to do or ways to be in the world when they quote unquote grow up. And many of them don't achieve any of their dreams. You know, a lot, they say, I want to be an astronaut. You know, those are specialty fields that are a little, are very challenging and difficult to attain, but you have the energy and the intention and the power to make things come true in your life, which I think is, says a lot about who you are as a human being, but just how you move in the world, you know, with intentionality and with great grace, because you're able to make these things happen. But I think, you know, it is a superpower to dream big, to have a huge imagination, because when you have both of those kind of traits combined with, you know, grace and power and walking through the world, you can make things happen. And it's like with great power comes great responsibility. And I don't know, that's just something that I think it's important to realize is that, I don't know, that imagination is a superpower. Would you agree?
I definitely agree. And this something was, you know, it's something that children, they all have that when they're little. But I think in my part, it's easy for me to believe that things can truly happen. It's part of my personality. So when I've met my mentor 3 years ago and he said, you can be whatever you want to be, I was like, ooh, wait. You see, I'm going to go straight for it to believe it. Some people will be reluctant. I'm not so sure. Me, no. It's like, he said it. Okay, so let's make a list now. And I think it's something that part of me, I have a strong faith, you know, in the thing that pleases me. If it's something that it's exciting, I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm all it. And I think what helped me when I was young is because I grew up with a sick mom. She was always ill. And you don't know if she's going to come back today or not. She's been, you know, at the hospital for weeks. And you know, that is the pattern, you know, she gets better. And then after a while she goes again. And so straight away, I had a picture of what is the world, what type of world we live in. It's not easy. It's not just, you know, that's what I've seen. I had that, you know, I witnessed that. So I've learned through, you know, my mom health, you know, struggles, that resilience is all what I have, you know, left here. If, you know, she's back, she's here, life is good, life is amazing, you know. So it has to be very, I don't know, but struggles and difficulties, as long as it's not related to health, I feel that it's okay. It's not that a big deal. It's okay. I still have this joy and happiness and everything because I've seen worse. Like for me, I think without health, you're very limited. And now that I'm a spiritual, obviously, on a spiritual student, I don't really believe that completely, obviously, because I know that you can overcome so many things when you connect to the outcome. And but I just believe that this helped me tremendously, the resilience to be able to stand up again when, you know, things are not really going the way you want.
good segue for our my second question, which is, did you grow up in a religious household? And it sounds like you were just saying that your mother was very sick a lot. So to me, that just says maybe not a lot of stability to maybe be a spiritual person or go to church or do anything like that. But yeah, I'm just so curious. Did you grow up in a religious household?
Yes, because she has been raised Catholic. So it was part of my education as well. So whenever we could go, we would go. But no, we never went every Sunday. Obviously, it's just not doable with the way she was.
And how did that evolve for you? Did you kind of grow out of Catholicism or do you still practice?
No, I completely grew out of it. What I believe is that religions, they can be for you and sometimes they can't be for you. If you have a free spirit in a sense that you don't really want to be to have your life dictated by rules, it's not really for you because the religions are clear. There's some things you can do and some things you can't do. So when you are raised in it, it's part of your programming. It's just the way it is. It's absolutely. But if now you start, you have those desires that are against, the rules. Hey, good question. What do you do? Do you go with what you have been, taught? Or do you go with what's standing you inside, the inner voice? And I think in my case, I decided to go with what it's inside rather than what I've been, taught or what I've been, learning growing up as a Catholic. And we all have this choice. So it's fine if, it works for you. It's you happy there. It's great, good. If not, yes, just start, asking questions to God, to the universe. He always responds, so.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm ever so curious how you kind of evolved into the place that you are now, that you have a spiritual teacher. How did that happen?
I think it's attraction. For this, I have no real explanation. I attracted my mentor. He attracted me. It's co-creation on this planet, right? Everybody is co-creating, experiences, circumstances, conditions, events, whatever. And it's just, there's something people are saying often that it's when you're ready that your teacher appears. Yes. So it's just exactly what happened. It's just, it was the time for me. I was asking myself lots of questions. And as I said, the universe always responds. So it will respond in the best way for you. And the best way for me was to be introduced to that mentor a couple of years ago. And since then, I'm studying every single day. And I talk to God. God talks to me. I have a real relationship. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
The day that you met your mentor, did you even have any concept that something that big was coming your way?
I had a vision a couple of years before that. And I was standing on the stage and I had in front of me so many people listening. It was a flash. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. So I just completely rejected. I was like, thank you very much. I have nothing to say to people, so it's not me. But then years after that, I've met my mentor. And I was like, not the first time, but as soon as I was in the study and absolutely loving it, I remembered. I remember the vision. And I was like, oh, wow, of course, now I have a lot of things to say to people. Okay, bring it on. Bring the stage, bring the audience. I'm ready whenever you are. No, I had the vision. It's true.
And I think that's so interesting because, you know, now you're acting and you're modeling. So you're also being seen in those ways too, by different audiences everywhere. I mean, that's actually true. Really fascinating.
Yes. And it's so funny. I was in a modeling job just 2 days ago, and I was supposed to just, you know, talking about any topics and just, you know, pretending that I was in a business meeting. And I said, okay, so let's talk about spirituality. And then it was so funny because the photographer was taking pictures and everything. That was the part of the, and then it stopped at some point. It was like, gosh, we can't, like everybody's listening. Like we're supposed to pretend something, but because I was really on the topic that, you know, people want to know more about. Obviously, everybody has, you know, questions about why we're here, who we are truly, our purpose and everything. So I was talking about all of this. And then it felt so good. But you see, I can share all of this in this industry. There's no, you know, obstacles or barrier, or you have to do it only there. You just do it everywhere, anytime, with everyone. It's great. The most magical, I would say, miraculous thing that happened to me was when I was in church a couple of years ago. I was with the boys. I have two boys, and I was not, because I'm in England, the church is an Anglican one. It's not a Catholic one. And it's not because I wanted to be part of another religion, but I just loved, you know, at that time, still now, the messages of love, you know, that we can't express or share when you are part of this, those communities. It's beautiful. So I decided to go once or twice a month to the service for children. And so I went one day, and I was so used with my mother to not take, you know, the bread when I grew up with her in church. It's something that she was, for whatever reason, she was not doing. And I just, okay, if she's not doing it, I'm not doing it. So I decided that I won't do it. So it's an habit, right? So it's been years like this. And suddenly I'm not going to say suddenly, I was having conversation with my cousins since a couple of weeks. She was saying that she has been transformed and all of this, blah, blah, blah. And another friend as well. And I believe whatever, it's not really part of this world is, oh, I just love it. So I'm really into it. And I just enjoy so much being around and listen to those kind of topics. It's so inspiring for me. And I was sitting just there as usual. And then it was the time to take the bread. And I hear this little voice saying, are you going? What is coming? Where is that coming from? And obviously the answer was like, of course not. I'm not going to take the bread as usual. And I love this part because it's now, yeah, I understand what happened. And then the voice says again, what have you learned so far? Or what have you read so far? And true, since my cousin and my very good friend was talking about so many different experiences that they've been through, I was quite intrigued, and I started to open the Bible and I started to read different passages and everything. I'm used, obviously, to the Bible since I'm very young. And I just, you know, replied that it's something that, you know, Jesus wanted us to do. And I love, and the voice replied, obviously, you can do whatever, but what is the point to read and never apply? I was like, okay. Okay, fine. I'm going. So I went, but I never expected what happened after that. So I went to take, you know, the bread, and I went back to my place. And then the boys were just next to me, and suddenly this huge wave of heat, you know, started to it started from the feet up to, you know, the top of my head, and it was just like going through my whole body, but very, very fast. And it was, I had so many kind of, to explain, it's like little explosions everywhere in the body, very powerful, very nice feeling, but too intense. So you kind of feel like, is people looking at what's going on with me? Yeah, there's something, I mean, can people see that? Because it was really something happening within. And I started to cry because it was, the feeling was beautiful. It's not something that it was painful. No, you feel in love, in peace. It's just beautiful. So I have the, you know, the little tear. And after that was really interesting because I started to feel just around here above my head, like a breeze or something happening. And I remember I was driving somewhere, and my ex-partner now, but at the time, still partner, was telling me that what's going on? Because why are you doing this all the time? Because there's something there. And I was driving, and it was like, do you want us to have an accident? There's nothing there. Can you just stop that? And I was like, no, there's something. I just couldn't stop. I was just doing this to check. But when I was doing this, the thing was moving with me anyways. So I never really understood what happened, but he was like shouting at me kind of, but stop doing this, because obviously I'm doing that. I'm just like, stop. Why there's something pulling me there? And it was like just a couple of hours after, you know, the experience in the church. So I spoke obviously to my cousin about that and to my friend. And I remember what they said, that it's the Holy Spirit. You just received the Holy Spirit. And I was like, yeah, really? Why for? And that was the beginning of me kind of wanting to know more and more and more. I never had this experience again. It just happened once. But I think for whatever reason, it kind of set a path of me understanding that whatever, you know, you believe, your thoughts and emotions and action has to be in alignment with that for it to occur, you know. So I understand what was the message behind here. You can do whatever interpretation, obviously. You're free to decide of what kind of interpretation you want to give to that moment. And it's definitely so natural. I can't, you know, say the opposite. What it means everything that it's happening in my life now. That's the interpretation that I decided to have, because my journey is just, you know, continuing. It's not stopping. I'm studying, you know, every day and still growing and still, you know, reaching higher. So I think it was just kind of the beginning of the journey.
Wow. I'm kind of just a little stunned over here. My jaw dropped. What a beautiful story. And I just love the image of you in the car.
Oh yes, no, it's
just feeling the top of your head and thinking, what is up there? What is going on? What, I feel something, what is up there? And first of all, like whenever I think something's like near my head or on my hair, I always think it's the world's biggest spider and I freak out. But here you are, you know, in the car driving, and you can still feel it, that it's this palpable presence or sense that there's something that is there, and also how beautiful. Like,
sure.
Yeah, you had this really seminal, powerful moment in church, and then it stayed with you. I'm kind of like this reminder, no, this was real. This actually happened. This was real. Almost to cement your belief in what happened.
No, it happened. Now it's all, it happened. That's for sure. There was something up there. Just there for hours. And you know why it happened? Because you've been in this world for, I don't know, at the time I was maybe 32, whatever. So for 32 years, I never had something above my head. So I know the difference. I know that there's something. And so I remember when I said that something happened in the church to my ex-partner, and he said, Tess, this is goosebumps. I said, but yes, thank you very much, because I know what is it, goosebumps. So I can tell you that it's not that. And that's why, you know, because it can't be that, because you know what is it to have goosebumps, or you know what, you have a breeze. Just, you know, this is new. It's from another world. But obviously you're the only one who experienced it. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. That I'm, you know, people can't really explain, or they didn't go through that as well. It's fine for me. I don't need people to go through it to understand me. I understand myself. So that's no problem. So it really happened, and it's still meaningful for me. Very meaningful for me.
I was going to ask if you have ever felt a little bit like a fish out of water. And by that, I mean, you know, you have these experiences, you know, our greater culture, our greater world, society at large, you know, does a lot to say, to poo-poo them and say, oh, they're not real. Oh, you have an active imagination, or, oh, maybe you need to see and talk to someone. But when you have these moments or these happenings in your life, I mean, I've had them. I really just have select people that I can talk with it about, because so many people around me just say, or don't believe, or pat me on the head and they say, oh, how sweet for you. You know, is it difficult to navigate the world kind of with the knowledge that you have?
To answer your question, I think people are just, you know, drawn to you in a sense. You attract them, they attract you, because on their journey, maybe they need some answers that at the time you do have. The same as for me when, you know, I've met my mentor, is the same. I never go to people and tell them, oh, you know, it should be this way or it should be that way. I don't do that ever, because I understand the soul agenda. You know, everyone is here on his own, you know, journey. And if they want to reach another level, they will obviously ask for that. And there will be someone that, you know, came into their life to just make sure that this specific question is answered. So I don't do that. I don't go to people and tell them, oh, you know, you should do this, you should do that. What I do, if I see someone that is not in a really good situation, that's not what I want for that person, because that's not what I want for myself. So I'm not even talk to that person. I'm just going to start to see this person the way I would love that person to feel or to be for this person's own good. So as an example, for instance, you can, you know, I don't know, walk past, you know, someone, a homeless person. And instead of just telling them, oh, just pray God, or just do something, or just do that, I just see them well-dressed, having a, like, you know, a little smile. And I think by doing this, you just send a new energy towards them. And you kind of, because we all, this is a world of energy. So you send a vibration. And then this person, if the person is really ready for that, they would grab that, you know, idea, and would be like, oh, maybe I forgot to be in touch with that person, or where someone will come for that. Well, I don't know, but that day they would want to accept you know, the help or whatever it will occur. If that person wants that, it will really happen. So that's why I try now to do as much as possible, to just see the good in people, see things that they would love for themselves. I just make sure that I see them happening for them. Obviously, yeah, I can be generous and just, you know, give, but I think it's even more when you do that. You know, you give even more than just, you know, a couple of, you know, pounds. If you give, you know, what they would love, you know, to be. But sometimes you don't know. Maybe they want to stay there. So that's why it's up to them to just, you know, accept that energy or to reject it.
That's so beautiful. I hadn't ever really considered going through the world. And I mean, of course, blessing people or envisioning blessings for them. But, you know, it's a whole other way of interacting with the world, of co-creating with the world and co-creating for people's highest selves, even though they might not know what it is at that moment. But it's a whole other way to be a blessing. Thank you so much for cluing me in on that.
Pleasure.
And that's it, everyone. My interview with Tessia Watson. There will be a link to her website so you can check out what she's all about. It'll be in the episode show notes, so make sure to check it out when you have some time in your day. I need to thank Tessia for agreeing to be a guest on the show and for sharing her very powerful story of spiritual awakening. I need to thank all of you who listen to this podcast. I just absolutely live for your ratings and your reviews, your little notes, your text messages telling me how much you enjoy the podcast. I'm coming up soon to episode 200, and I am so very excited about that. I have a super groovy guest. I did the interview quite a few months ago, but I've been saving it for episode 200. I can't wait for you to hear it and introduce you to yet another incredible human being in this world. I hope that you've taken some time to check out my new YouTube channel. It's pretty fun and pretty groovy, and will be growing in all sorts of different directions. There will be a link in the episode show notes if you want to check out what's going on there right now. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Tessia. Be open to the experience. Yes, weird things happen in this world. Yes, we all have experiences where we think, okay, what was that? I mean, what really, really just happened? We have things happen in our lives that we can't explain, that we don't understand, but be okay with it. Understand that it's a part of your journey, just knowing that it's leading you to a more authentic place in this world. See you next week for the very next episode of this podcast. And until then, I hope your days are filled with laughter, with friendship, and with the knowledge that you currently are listening to the world's grooviest podcast.